Earplay is made possible by grants from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and the National Endowment for the Arts.
Part 2 of a three-part adaptation by Bill Morrison of Crime and Punishment. This week, Earplay brings you part two of Dostoevsky's classic story. Driven by motives of despair at his family's destitution, and a confused sense of his own destiny to be extraordinary, the student Raskolnikov has robbed and murdered an old woman pawnbroker and her sister. He's escaped undetected and hidden the stolen property in a builder's yard. Summoned to the police station for failure to pay his rent, Raskolnikov overhears a police officer talking about the murder. He faints and has to be helped home. After several days of delirium, he recuperates, but his conscience continues to plague him. Part two of the BBC production of Dostoevsky's Crime and Punishment.
I cannot go on anything like this. I must make an end of it. It's too much.
Please, what will you have? Some vodka?
Give me some tea, and bring me the newspapers. The old ones for the last 5 days.
Yes, sir.
But yet, if I had to stand on one square yard of space all my life, 1,000 years, eternity, I believe it would be better to live like that than die now. Life. Give me life. Whatever it may be.
There you are, sir. The papers. I'll have your tea in a moment.
Now, here's the story of the murder. Where? Down. Fire. More fire. Nothing but fire. Woman.
Raskolnikov.
Huh?
What are you doing in the Café Cristal?
Zamyatov.
Well, I last saw you. I didn't believe you'd be out and about so soon.
Well, I'm glad you're better. Did they tell you about how I found your sock and how you shouted at me?
They did.
Well, I didn't mind. It was quite funny.
Who's been pouring champagne into you over there?
I just offended him.
For services rendered in the line of police duty.
What do you mean?
I'm only making fun. Making fun. Like that painter in the case of the old woman.
What do you know about that?
Perhaps I know more about it than you do. Tell him. Confess it all. Be rid of it. Now, confess.
Are you sure you're all right? I don't think you should have come out.
I can't go on. I can't bear it.
What are you reading about? The fires?
I am not reading about the fires. I am not reading about the fires.
Well, I didn't read anything. Well, then I...
You are most anxious to know what I'm reading about.
Well, really, I'm not.
What can I be looking for in these newspapers? It is very suspicious, isn't it?
Why should I think so?
I'll tell you. I will declare. No. Confess. I confess. No. Make a deposition. I depose that I was searching and that I came here solely for that purpose. For news of the murder of the old pawnbroker.
Well, what have you heard? It's nothing to me.
The same crime you were talking about at the police office when I fainted. Do you understand now?
Understand what?
Think.
You must be delirious or...
Or what? What? What?
Nothing. It's nonsense.
Is it?
There's your tea. Anything for you, sir?
Hmm? Oh, no, nothing.
Thank you. Look at him, puzzle. How could I be taken by someone so stupid? I tell him the truth and destroy his little scraps of evidence, make a nonsense of him. It's so easy.
Oh, we'll catch the murderer. He made some mistakes. They always do.
What mistake?
He lost his nerve after the killing. He made a mess of the robbery.
All you policemen go by the book. It wouldn't be hard to fool you. For instance, doesn't the book say that if a man who had no money suddenly has lots to spend, he must be the thief?
Oh, it's true. Most people do catch them when they spend the money. But you wouldn't do that, eh? Do you
Do you want to know what I would do?
Yes, I would.
I should have taken the money and the jewelry. I should have walked to some deserted place, a builder's yard, say. I should have found a heavy stone that had been undisturbed a long time. I should have lifted the stone and put the money under it. I should not approach it again for a year. Or two. Or three.
Why are you so fascinated by this?
What if it was I who murdered the old woman and Lizaveta?
Oh, that's not possible.
For a moment you believed it.
No, of course not.
Well, the suspicion has been in your mind.
You said that, not me.
But after all, look at my behavior. Well, look at it.
Waiter, how much do I owe you?
30 kopecks, sir.
Look at that. You see that? 25 rubles. Where did I get them? I have no money. Where did I get all these new clothes? Think about it. Find out about it. Consult the book. Consult your theories. Goodbye. Think about it.
Is there no end to it? Can I make an end to it? I can't remember why I did it. I must have seen some end. What future did I see? What should I do? What happened? The man had no chance. He went straight under the wheels. I know it. It's Marmeladov. Oh, not more pain.
What is it? What trouble have you brought me now?
Where shall we put him?
Put him there, on the sofa.
What is it? What happened?
He was run over by a carriage.
Oh, dear God!
Please, Mrs. Marmeladov, please try to be calm. Don't be frightened. Think of the children. I was there. I saw it. He just fell in front. I've taken charge. I'll carry him.
Look at him. Look at the blood on him. The idiot, I thought. It has destroyed him.
Send for the doctor. Have him warm. A towel. He's not dead.
Sonia! Sonia, run for your sister. Run for Sonia. Bring her here. Run, girl, run.
She'd better hurry. He's really gone.
What are you all doing here? You might let him die in peace. He's got the spectacles and take that. Leave us alone.
Come on, then. Let's have everybody out.
Where is the doctor?
What's going on here?
They're drunk again. Get him out. Take him to the hospital. I don't want him in my house. This is my room. We pay for it. You can't put it out. It's my house. And I say I never wanted you here.
Please. Let him die in peace.
Take him to the hospital. Now, I warn you, we have friends. This young man has money, connections. You'll hear from...
Where's the injured man? Let me pass.
Doctor, he's here, on the sofa.
Right, all of you, give me some room. What happened to him?
He fell in front of a carriage.
Yes, you see, his chest is crushed. No wonder he's conscious at all.
Confess.
He'll die immediately.
No hope?
None. His head's been entered too.
I want to confess.
Sonia. Sonia, I found him. I brought him.
He's dead. My sweet daughter, Sonia. Forgive me. I have done the misery and all. I look, the little boy has bare feet.
Father?
I told him.
He's dead.
Well, he's got what he wanted. What is to be done now? How can I bury him? We have nothing.
I knew your husband, and now I know he loves you all. Look, let me do something, please, Lemmy. Here's 20 rubles. If that'll help, please take them. I'll come again. Whatever you need, I'll come again. Goodbye.
Oh, wait for me.
Who is it? Ah, oh, Polya.
Sir, please. What's your name? Where do you live?
Who sent you after me?
My sister Sonia.
That's good. Do you love your sister?
Oh, more than anyone.
Did your father love you?
Oh, yes. He brought us Christmas and taught us to read.
Do you know your prayers?
Oh, of course I do. We pray to God and for my sister and for all of us.
My name is Roger. Will you pray for me, too, sometime? And my servant, Roger, nothing more.
I'll pray for you for the rest of my life.
Tell them, Polly, that I will come tonight. There is a life, Forrester. It is not the end. I have a life. It was always my intention to do good. I had a reason. I have a future.
Roger, so you came. I'm glad, brother. I didn't want to lose you.
I only came to say a word, and we must go home.
You can hardly stand, but I'm not much better. Come on, we'll support each other in the street.
What about your guests?
Oh, listen to them. They don't need me. Come on, home. Listen, Roger.
Zemyatov's been telling us about you at the cafe. What was that all about?
What did Zemyatov say?
Oh, they'd all believe the worst of their own mother. You know, they go on about you fainting at the police office. But Zosimov talks about monomania and how you react to talk about crime. And, but I mean, what is a man supposed to do when he had a fever?
What else do they say?
Oh, listen, it was all a joke with Zemyatov. You led him on, made a fool of him. It was a joke, wasn't it?
Do you think I'm mad?
Nobody thinks you're mad. You would... You're just alone too much. You've got yourself into a bad state. Oh, by the way, my cousin Porfiry, the magistrate, wants to meet you.
Why?
He's heard a lot about you.
What?
What? What is he?
Look. You see, there's a light in my room.
Oh, I see it.
Who can be waiting for me?
Roger, at last.
Mother.
Your sister and I have been waiting so long. How are you? It's so... What's the matter, Roger?
Good. You're making good progress. In 3 or 4 days, you'll be back to normal. You know what has happened to you, to your mind. Now, you mustn't get into that state of depression again. It's up to you to cure yourself.
I feel quite well.
Good. Ah, well, that's a very handsome sister you have. That to me, he was quite overcome with her.
Was he?
I'll go.
Well, ladies. Hello, Ratsumihin.
Hello.
You'll find the patient up, rest, and remarkably well.
This is the doctor, Josima.
Oh, I'm very grateful to you. How are you today, Roger?
Much better. Mother, I hope I can be forgiven for last night. Dunya, I am sorry.
We love you, brother. Oh, Roger, I'm so glad to see you better.
And I must thank my friends. I don't know why I should deserve such generosity. I don't understand.
You're being sentimental.
What else did I mean to say? Yes, I would have come to see you this morning. I was delayed. You see, the blood had to be washed off
first. What blood?
On my clothes. It happened yesterday. I helped carry a man who was run over in an accident. Mother, I don't know what you would have done. Certainly, I had no right to do it. I gave all the money you sent me to his widow and the little children.
I'm sure you did what you thought best.
I don't know.
Ladies, will you excuse me? I have to go. I'll look in again soon. Remember, Roger, don't let anything upset you.
Goodbye, and thank you again.
It's nothing. Goodbye.
Well, I'm glad to see you, Roger. So much has happened. Did you know Marfa Petrovna is dead?
Who was she?
Oh, why, the Svidrigaylov, the family Dunya was with.
You mean the woman who accused her?
That was all forgiven. She was a fine woman.
How did she die?
That was the awful thing. Svidrigaylov beat her. It wasn't quite like that.
Would you defend him?
He beat her in the morning, then later she had a stroke and died.
Why tell me this?
Well, I didn't know what to talk about.
Are you afraid of me?
Look, Mother, we can't avoid it. We have to tell him.
Tell me, what?
Last night you seemed to think I was sacrificing myself, but that's not so. I am marrying because of my circumstances. I don't see that I have any choice.
You are deluding yourself.
I wouldn't marry Mr. Lucian if I didn't believe he had a proper regard for me. And if I didn't think I could respect him. But it can all be settled this evening, if you will agree. Will you come?
Yes.
I want Mr. Razumikin to be there too. He's already done so much for us. Will you?
You have only to ask. I would do anything for you, anything. Well, you know what I mean.
I do, Dimitri.
Everything will work out.
It must.
Huh?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Ah.
I shouldn't have...
Sonia. Come in. Please, come in. Sit here.
Katerina sent me to ask, will you come to the funeral?
I'll try. Oh, I want you to meet my family. My mother, my sister Dunya. This is Sonia Marmelada, the daughter of the man who was killed.
Oh, yes. Sonia, Dunya.
How were the arrangements made? Did you have any trouble?
The landlady was difficult, but it's all right. My mother begs you to come, at least to the meal afterwards. She wants to thank you for all you do.
What are you looking at?
I didn't realize that you lived like this. You must have given us everything you had. I'm sorry. Radia, I think we should go. You rest, please. We'll see you this evening. And Mr. Razumikin, goodbye.
Goodbye.
Take care, won't you? Goodbye.
I'll look after him. Goodbye, Dunya.
God give peace to the dead. The living have still to live. It's not right.
Razumikin, there's something I want from you.
Shall I tell Katerina you will come?
Please, wait a moment, Sonia. Dimitri. Your cousin Porfiry, you said he wanted to see all who had pawned things with the old woman. I was a customer of hers. I should have reported it. What will they think of the delay?
Oh, don't worry about that. I'll tell you what, we'll go straight to him. Anyway, he wants to meet you. So why deal with Clark?
Then we'll go now. Afterwards, if there is a future, may I come to see you, Sonia?
Yes, if you wish.
There's so much to talk about. I've known it since I met you.
No more.
I must see you alone. Not at your mother's. Where do you live?
I have a room at the Capanolmos.
Will you wait for me there?
Yes. I didn't know you lived like this. You gave us everything you had. I could do no less for you.
Sonia.
I will wait for as long as you want. We will talk then.
Yes. Afterwards.
Is it the right move to see Porfiry or not? The moth flies to the light. Will I be calm? I must. I must find out what he knows. I must take the risk.
Porfiry, I brought someone to see. Zamyatov, you know him already. This is Rodion Raskolnikov. My cousin Porfiry.
I'm delighted to meet you. Sit down.
How are you today, Raskolnikov?
Well enough. How can I help you, Raskolnikov?
Well, he's come about the things he pawned with the old woman. He'd have come before, but he was ill. I'm his witness to that.
Well, what should he do? Well, you have to make a statement that these articles, whatever they are yours, and you will redeem them.
Well, I only want to declare them. I can't redeem them. I haven't the money at the moment.
Ah, that doesn't matter. If you like, you can write directly to me.
Well, they're only worth 5 rubles, but... Well, you know, they mean much more. One was a watch, my father's, and my mother's here. If she knew I'd... Well... You understand.
Oh, they wouldn't have been lost. I've been expecting you for some time.
Did you know about them all the time?
Well, they were wrapped up together with your name on them. We know all her customers. Everyone else has come forward. Except you.
I have been ill.
Oh, I knew that too. I was told you were in great distress. Something weighing on your mind. You look pale still.
I'm not pale, and I'm not weak, I'm quite well.
He was delirious, unconscious till yesterday. And then when our backs were turned, he dressed and ran out, ran round the streets, quite delirious.
Well, that's not how it was. Zamyatov, you saw me, was I sensible?
Yes, but it was confusing. You were ill, and then you gave all your money away.
Perhaps I have plenty. I confessed it all to Zamyatov, didn't I?
Come on, react. I'm explaining it all. Don't play with me. Spit it out. Show me what you know. I could almost tell you everything now, so you could see how I despise you. You don't know what I know. You know nothing. You're just hoping I will betray myself. You have no proof, no facts, nothing.
That was quite a party you gave last night, Katsumiku.
I missed the best of it. Yes, how did that argument end? See, we were trying to decide, Roger, whether there is such a thing as crime. Well, I was on my own against these two. They were dribbling on about the socialist idea that crime is a protest against the abnormality of the social organization, and only that. No other cause is admitted.
That wasn't the argument.
Well, it's what it says in their pamphlets. To them, everything is the influence of the environment. So, if society is properly organized, all crime stops at once, there being nothing to protest against. Well, human nature isn't taken into account. They don't understand people. They think that you can make justice with a 5-year plan. They'll end up building graveyards.
What do you think, Raskolnikov? You've written on the subject of crime. Didn't I read an article of yours in the periodical recently?
It can't have been mine. I did write an article, but I sent it to the Weekly Review.
It was taken over by the periodical, didn't you know?
An article published? That's great news, Rodier. We must get a copy. Now, you should get some money for that.
You must lead a very solitary life not to know you have an article published.
It was signed only with my initial. How did you know it was me?
I was so interested by it that I went and asked the editor. Very impressive work. You analyzed the psychology of a criminal before and after a crime, isn't that so?
Superficially.
You made me think. The idea that the act is always accompanied by illness. Now, that was very original.
It's only a theory.
Of course. But the end confused me. You seem to say that there are certain people who have a right to go beyond the law.
A right to crime?
If you'll forgive me, summarizing your work. As I read it, the article divided men into ordinary and extraordinary. Ordinary men have to live in submission to the law. But the extraordinary man has a right to commit any crime for the reason that he is extraordinary. Was that the idea?
Not quite.
Oh, I'm sorry. You explain it.
I don't say that the extraordinary man must commit a crime, only that he could decide in his own conscience to overstep an obstacle if it prevented him fulfilling his mission, a purpose which might benefit all humanity.
Perhaps I'd understand it better if you gave me an example.
Take the discoveries of Newton. What if they could not be made known except by the sacrifice of the lives of 1, 10, even 100 men? Newton would have had the right, the duty even, to eliminate those obstacles so that his discoveries could benefit the whole of humanity. But that doesn't mean Newton can commit any crime.
That's a fine distinction.
I also maintain that legislators and leaders, Napoleon, would be an example of the biggest criminals of all. To make a new law, they had to break the ancient one, and they didn't hesitate to spill blood in the process, usually the blood of innocent people.
I'd agree with that.
So, all extraordinary men must be criminals if they would escape the common rut, which by their nature they are bound to try to do. The ordinary man is conservative, law-abiding, wants to be ruled. The other kind of men are destroyers, whatever may be their crime. They share the desire to destroy the present for the sake of a better future. And if that requires them to march over corpses and wade through blood, then they have the right to choose that path. Of course, this is all theoretical. The mass of people would not accept it. They execute such men. It is for the next generation who benefit to worship them.
They're not always executed.
Oh, some do triumph in their lifetime, and then...
Then they start executing for themselves, eh?
Why do I bother to explain all this to men who can never understand?
How do you recognize these extraordinary men? Signs of birth? There's one of the ordinary ones. I'd be a bit frightened if I couldn't recognize them.
There are very few. There's some law of nature we don't understand that decrees that the vast mass of peoples exists only to bring into the world perhaps one man in 1,000 with a spark of independence. A man of genius is one of millions. And the great genius is the crown of humanity appear on earth, perhaps one in many 1,000 million.
But that's got nothing to do with the real point. You can't surely sanction bloodshed in the name of one man's conscience.
What if some young man, perhaps wrongly, imagines that he might be, in the future, such an extraordinary man? Oh, he has some great enterprise in his head, but no means. So he starts to remove the obstacles, as you call them.
Society is well enough protected. It has its prisons, its policemen. You have but to catch your thief.
Tell me, it's probably a stupid question, but
When you were writing that, did you ever imagine yourself as such a man? Quite possibly.
Could you bring yourself to rob and murder?
If I did, I would not tell you. I'm talking theoretically, of course. I am no Napoleon. How crude. How obvious. How easy this is. The fool.
Perhaps it was someone like that who murdered the old woman.
It is only a theory. I must go. Oh, what a pity. I'd be very glad to talk to you. All the other business, write to me. Or better still, come and see me at the police office. I'll be there at 11 tomorrow.
Do you want to question me officially?
No, there's no need for that. Not at the moment. No, it's just that, as one of her last customers, you may have some scrap of information that will help. Help Nikolai, for instance, the man Razumihin here is trying so hard to save. I think he's innocent, but I can't prove it. No, the sort of thing I mean is, now, when you went up the stairs, it was past 7, wasn't it?
Yes. Should I have answered that?
So when you went up between 7 and 8, didn't you see in an empty flat on the way 2 workmen, or 1 even, painters? Do you remember?
Painters? No.
Is it a trap? Where is the trap?
I didn't see them. I didn't see a flat open, but
I see his trap.
All I remember is a flat opposite the old woman's. They were moving furniture out, but no painters, no.
Theory, you fool, I just realized the painters were there on the day of the murder. Roger went there 3 days before that.
Oh, yes, of course, forgive me. Oh, there's so much detail to remember, I get confused. It's because I'm trying so hard to help Nikolai.
You should be more careful.
I should. But you will come and talk to me tomorrow at 11. I'll expect you. There's still a lot to talk about.
Nothing, nothing, nothing. I must be sure that there is nothing here, not a scrap, not a clue, not one tiny thing that I may have missed that will betray me. They'll search, and they will miss nothing.
I must have all my strength to defeat them. I must be calm, calm. There is nothing to betray me. They have no proof. Everything can be explained. What does he know? The torture is his. I will go out, behave as normally as any ordinary man. Who would recognize difference?
Mother, sister, Kate, loved them once. You embraced my mother. Elisabetta, Sonia, gentle women, gentle eyes. Why not moan? Gentle eyes. Kate, house, like an owl. Round the house, like a door. Stairs, up the stairs. Painters, past, don't see me pass. Dark, dark, dark. Door open, the moon. Red, 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 the moon. No sound. I see a cloak from the corner. Behind the cloak hides Alina Ivanovna. Why do you hide, old woman? Why are you bent double to the ground? No face. I see no face. Axe. Loop. Coat. Open. Lift it. Free it. Raise it. Curl it. Cut it. Strike. One. Low. And one. Another. On the skull. No face. I see no face. See. 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 She bends and laughs and makes no sound and shakes and laughs and lives. Strike. Strike. The voices whisper mother in the other room. And he. She laughs and shakes and laughs and lives. No face. Strike. I cannot move.
Tell me what you want with me.
Allow me to introduce myself. I am Arkady Ivanovich Svidrigailov.
Svidrigailov? What are you doing here?
I came to Petersburg 3 days ago.
What do you want with me?
I know quite a lot about you.
What? Have you been following me?
No, but I think you and I have much to give each other.
What do you want from me?
Do you have any idea what it is like to be totally, completely bored with life?
No.
Perhaps you need to live more than I do. I've been bored for a long time. Not altogether unpleasant yet. I was rich enough to have nothing to do and nothing at all I wanted to do. Until I met your sister, Delia.
You've done enough to her. She would never see you again.
That's why I'm here. I never harmed her, you know.
I am not going to talk about Dunia with you.
What have you been told? That she came to my house as a governess and that I set about seducing her, idly, for my own pleasure, to use her and destroy her. I wasn't a criminal. I was, in truth, the victim.
Why?
Because I fell in love with her the moment I saw her. Oh, but what is it not? I've lost that feeling now as quickly as it came. What is love without hope? All I want is to see her just once more.
She won't see you.
That's why I want you to arrange it.
You expect me to believe your story when your wife is hardly cold in her grave?
You heard that.
I heard that you beat your wife to death.
It doesn't matter to me what you heard or what you believe. But my wife died of apoplexy and finally confirmed it. She very foolishly took a cold bath after a heavy dinner and had an attack.
You beat her?
It was only a few blows, a few light touches with a switch in the morning. You may well have enjoyed it if it was not beyond her.
What do you want with me?
I want to see your sister.
I won't even discuss it.
Well, let's talk about the man she plans to marry, Lucian. He's not fit for her. She's sacrificing herself, her family, for money. I cannot think that you will accept that.
It's not your business.
I want to see Julia, to tell her that I would give her 10,000 rubles so that she can be free of that sacrifice and can do whatever she wants.
She wouldn't accept it.
There are no conditions. I am a rich man. What she plans to do, she's going to do for money. There are only a few things left I want to do. And one of them is to her.
Oh, to hell with you. Leave us alone.
No, don't dismiss it. Think about it. Tell her about it.
No.
I think you'll do what I want.
When do you leave on your journey?
That, my dear Raskolnikov, is not a simple question. I have time. Tell Dunya I only want to see her once. Oh, and you can tell us something else. Martha Petrovna remembered her in her will and left her 3,000 rubles. You'll have the money in a few weeks. Goodbye, Raskolnikov. I'll see you again. As much we have still to find out about each other.
Is it going to block for us?
Lucian will be prompt.
I'm so worried. Roger, you won't do anything foolish, will you?
No, Mother.
He did say he didn't want you here when he called.
Mother, we've discussed all that. We all want Roger to be here. And Mr. Archimedes.
Yes, we have so much to thank you for.
Please, please, no more thanks. I don't deserve it. That's him. Sit where you are. I'll bring him in. Good evening. I'm Raskolnikov. We met yesterday.
I remember. Good evening. Good evening, ladies. I hope you had...
Good evening, Yot Petrovich Luzhin.
Raskolnikov. I had not expected you here. No doubt, Dunya, you had your own reasons to invite him. I trust, ma'am, you had a favorable journey.
Oh, we did, yes.
Please accept my apologies for not meeting you on your arrival yesterday. It was unavoidable.
Oh, of course, we were well cared for. The saddest thing happened just before we left.
Mm-hmm.
Marfa Petrovna died suddenly. Do you remember her?
I was informed. I also heard that her husband, Svidrigailov, left for Petersburg immediately after the funeral.
You mean he's here? Now?
Yes, I think we may guess the reason.
Won't he leave Dunya in peace even here?
Oh, he can do nothing, ma'am, if she has no wish to see him.
He's an evil man.
Oh, I entirely agree with you. Yes. I've heard some dreadful things about him. Apparently, not only did Marfa Petrovna rescue him from death so that he would marry her, but she also used her influence to have a charge against him dropped. A crime of the worst depravity.
Oh, heavens. Do you have any evidence for these stories?
I only repeat what I was told. There was an old woman, a moneylender, and Svidrigailov had some mysterious kind of relationship with her. She had a niece, a deaf and dumb girl, about 14, whom she treated dreadfully. Well, one day, the child was found hanged. The verdict was suicide. But then information came to light that she had been cruelly outraged first by Svidrigailov.
Oh, please. Can we not talk of him anymore?
He has just been to see me.
What?
When?
2 hours ago. He had a proposition for you, Dunya. He was very anxious to see you and wanted me to persuade you to agree. He also told me that Marfa Petrovna left you 3,000 rubles in her will.
3,000? Oh, God.
Did you know that, Lucian?
I had heard something to that effect.
What else did he say?
I will tell you afterwards.
Oh, I see. Very well. If that's to be the case, it would be clearly better if I left now.
No, Pierre. We came here to discuss our future, and we must talk about it.
I'm glad you haven't forgotten. I did want an explanation from you and your dear mother on a very important point indeed, but
Since your brother is here...
He is here because I asked him. You wrote yesterday that you'd been insulted by him. But this must be explained. If Roger did insult you, he should and will apologize.
There are insults which cannot be forgotten.
Please, dear. Our whole future depends on whether this is settled.
My dear Dunia, you know I only want happiness for both of us. But I think we must consider ourselves and not your family.
I have promised to marry you. It is a promise I take with great seriousness. But I must see for myself what is between you. For if you can't forgive, then I know I have to choose between you. And I do not want to be and must not be mistaken in your choice.
There is no choice. You are promised to me. Love for a husband must outweigh love for a brother.
What have you against, Radia?
What did you write to your son, ma'am? I may have made some remark about the moral advantage of marriage to a poor girl, but I did not say that I would only marry someone in extreme poverty because she would always be in my debt.
Mr. Lucian, we would not have traveled 700 miles, spent all we had, if we did not think very highly of him.
Oh,
You blame my son for exaggerating, but look what you wrote about him.
What did I write?
You said I gave away all the money I had, all that my mother sent me, to a dissolute family. The father had been killed in an accident. They were desperate.
I only told your mother of the condition in which I found you. Your friend Sonia, the daughter of that family, is a prostitute. Would you allow your mother and sister to associate with that kind of person?
As a matter of fact, they sat down together today.
You see? How could we be reconciled? The matter is settled. I trust in the future I will be spared such meetings, Dunia.
You seem to think that we're completely under your authority. My daughter still has her independence.
Now? She has 3,000 rubles now, which may account for the change in your attitude.
Perhaps my brother did not exaggerate about you.
The matter is settled, as far as I'm concerned. You can get on with your secret talk about the propositions of Svidrigaila if you're interested.
You see now, sister.
Please leave, Mr. Lusin.
If you let me go now, I will not be back. Consider that very carefully.
I'll be not there.
Remember your promise. It's a binding promise. In law.
Please leave. Now.
So that's all you think of me. You don't need me now. You have a few rubles. Well, just remember, I picked you up when you were penniless. Your reputation was destroyed. You were the gossip of the town. You and Svidrigailov. I gave you respect. I gave you...
That's enough. Another word out of you, and I swear I'll flatten you.
Hmm?
Now, you heard what she said. She doesn't want you. Now, get out.
What?
Go on, get out.
Where well, I'm going. I'm going.
Oh, God has delivered us. God has delivered us.
Did you ever hear anything like that? What a tongue.
My dear sister.
Oh, Roger, I'm truly sorry. It was my fault. I was too concerned about money and the future. I didn't see what kind of man he was.
Well, I knew his sort the minute I looked at him. So did Roger.
Forgive us, we were very foolish.
It's over.
Thank God. Tell us now, what did Svidrigailov say to you?
He wants to make Dunia a present of 10,000 rubles and to see her once.
Never. What answer did he give me?
Well, I wouldn't listen, but he insisted. He seemed to want to be forgiven, said he no longer felt any passion for you, and he very particularly did not want you to marry Lusin.
What did you think of him?
He was very strange. Don't worry, I'll find out all about him. I can protect you. That is, I mean, if you will allow me, dear.
I would feel very well protected, don't you?
Look, I have an idea. Now that there is some capital, it should be used. I can get money from my uncle. We'll all go into partnership.
Doing what?
Well, publishing translations. Rodia and I do the literary work, we all do the rest. I know a lot about it, I have the contacts, I've been working for others long enough. Oh, we could do it!
Oh, Dmitri, could we? What do you think, Rodia?
He knows the business all right. We both know books that would sell.
Oh, we'll examine all the details. But first, we must get you both somewhere to live. Now, I know a flat near here that would suit you both very well. And what do you say, Rodia?
It's time for me to go.
Where?
I must go.
But why, Roger? Why? Brother, you can't go now.
I meant to say to you, well, as I was coming here, I would say it would be better for us not to see each other for a time. Not forever. But who knows, it may be the last time. Well, I feel ill. I'm not at peace. I will come afterwards when it may be possible. I remember you and love you. I decided this before. Whatever is going to happen, I want to be alone. Now, if you love me now,
forget me.
What is he saying?
Goodbye. I love you. Goodbye.
It must be true. He must be mad. What else can explain it?
Look, don't worry. We must try to understand him. Now, I'll see where he goes. I knew you'd follow. Dimitri, be with them. Care for them.
You know I will. But where are you going? What are you doing? What's wrong?
No, don't ask me. I'm nothing to tell you. Leave me alone, but don't leave them.
You talk as if you have to go away.
Oh, no. Roger, I will not ask you what you're doing. Do you understand now? Go back. Go back to them.
Can I decide my own future, or must it be decided for me? I will go to see Sonia tonight to say to her, I don't know what. And tomorrow morning I go to see Porfiri at the police office. Is it possible still to dare, to win? I must face him directly, not be weak, not be a coward. But my journey may end tomorrow.
Sonia, I've come to see you for the last time. I may not see you again.
Are you going on a journey?
My dear Sonia, that is not a simple question.
Then won't you be able to come to my father's funeral tomorrow?
I will try. How thin you are, Sonia. A little transparent hand, like a thin bed. So this is your room. Who's next door?
That room is empty.
Are you afraid of nights in here?
The people in the house are kind. The children come to see me.
Your father told me all about you. How poor you all were, how he drank, how in the end you had to go out on the streets and came back with the money to keep them all.
That is how it is.
And your stepmother, Katerina, drove you to do it. Do you not blame her?
How could I? I love her. You don't know her. She was generous and kind, but she's ill. Her mind is quite defeated. She's like a child now. She puts her hopes in you. She's built you up as someone rich with great connections. She's made herself believe it. She has such faith in people. She hardly knows where she is now.
So you had no choice.
But don't you pity me? I shouldn't say that after you gave them all you had.
Katerina has consumption. She must die very soon.
No.
It'll be better if she does die.
It will not be better at all.
What will happen to the children then?
I don't know.
The whole family depend on you now. What would happen if you got ill? What then?
Don't say that. I don't think about it.
They would be put out on the streets to beg. Katerina would cough, spit blood, the children cry. How long would she last?
No, please, no. God would not allow it.
Do you have any money saved?
None.
So what will you do? When will it be the turn of your little sister, Polya?
No, no, God would not allow anything so awful.
It happened to you.
God will protect her.
What if there is no God at all?
Oh.
Oh, Sonia, Sonia.
No, stand up. No, don't kneel to me, not me.
I did not bow down only to you. I bowed down to all the suffering of humanity. Oh, Sonia. Sonia, is it not appalling how you must sell yourself and at the same time know that you're not helping anyone by it? Tell me how you can live like that and still have such holy feeling. What sustains you? I cannot understand you. Do you pray to God? Do you pray all the time, Sonia?
Why should I be without God?
What does God do for you?
He does everything.
So that's the escape. That's the way out. Tell me another kind of madness.
You have no right to say that.
Is this a New Testament? Where did you get it?
It was brought to me by Elizabeth. My God rest her soul. She was murdered. You must know that.
I do. She was murdered with an axe. With her sister, the old pawnbroker, both of them with an axe. I came to tell you something. I abandoned my family today. I'll not see them again.
But why?
I have only you. Now. Let's go together, Sonia. We're both damned. Let's go together.
Go where?
I don't know. I only know I need you. That's why I've come to you.
I don't understand.
You will in time. We are the same. You two have destroyed your life. There's no future for you or me. We must go together. We have the same road.
Well, why do you say all this?
Because we must face the future and not cry that God will not allow it. Think what can happen, how Polly will have to follow you on the same street. That children do not stay children long in this hopeless, monstrous, dirty, deprived
vicious slum.
But what can we do?
Break what must be broken once and for all, and take the suffering on oneself. Freedom and power, above all power, over all trembling creation and all the ants heap. That's the ultimate goal. Remember that. It's my farewell message. And if I don't come tomorrow, you'll hear all about me, and one day, someday, you'll understand. But if I'm able to come tomorrow, I'll tell you who killed Lizaveta.
But you know you did.
I know, and will tell you. Only a few. I told you. No. I'm not coming for forgiveness, but simply to tell. I told you. Long ago. Goodbye.
What does he mean? But if he wants me to follow him, I will. I have no better place to put my heart.
So, what would you say, Raskolnikov, if you knew it was the man you think you hate, Svidrigaïlov, who had the rooms next to this, and stood in the empty room between the ear filled with your voice to your door? I think you would know each other better. And it's been a chair tomorrow. This confession may take a long time.
It's the morning. The morning when I will discover myself. What there is in me. If only I knew what he knows.
What did it? Raskolnikov, I'm delighted to see you.
I'm so punctual, you put me to shame. I hope you didn't mind waiting outside in the police office. I had some business, forgive me.
I brought my statement about the things I had called to the old woman. Is it correct?
What? Oh, yes. Yes, yes, fine. That's all I need.
So now you want to question me formally?
Yes, but there's no hurry, is there? Smoke? No? You don't mind if I do. Yes, I'm sorry it's a bit of a mess. Yeah, it's not my normal office. There's not far too many of these things. Yes, we're having some repairs done.
Is this how you begin?
Hmm?
Isn't this the usual practice? Start off with something trivial, irrelevant. Divert your suspect. Give him a false sense of security. Leave him open to the unexpected question. Surprise him into a mistake. That's your usual method.
This is very often used. Ah, but you don't think that the cigarette, the talk about the office... Oh, no, no, I meant nothing by that. You misunderstand me.
Porfiry, if you have anything to ask me, ask it straight out. I have no time to waste. I'm sick of all this suspicion. And I have been for a long time, and that's part of what made me ill. Either question me, or let me go. Don't play with me. You've nothing to say? Then I'll go.
I don't know what I've done to offend you. You're my visitor. I asked you here just for a chat. I hope we can be friendly. There's nothing sinister in it. Please, sit down. Please.
I have very little time. I have other things to do. I must go to a funeral.
I'm sorry. Do sit down. I don't know what you expected. it's me. It's my fault. I've always been awkward with people. I can't be natural at ease. Can't be straightforward. That's the job, you know. I wish I could offer you a cup of coffee, but we're in such a mess here. This job makes you end up treating everyone the same. I was looking forward to meeting you to a little intelligent conversation. You're reading for the law, aren't you?
I was.
Then perhaps you're interested in police procedure, are you? If you like, I'll explain how I operate. You do need a system, it's true, the sort of thing you described. But I don't like to worry a man too soon, even when I have evidence against him. Of course, if I have another evidence, I must arrest him. But you don't often have a clear-cut case. You always better let him walk about, too.
Isn't that dangerous?
Not often. You see, I must work by evidence, by facts. I can be convinced that I'm as guilty. But if I put him into prison on suspicion, well, probably I'll deprive myself of the chance of getting the proof I need. You see, it gives him a definite position. It puts him out of his suspense. He knows where he stands. He'll say no more. No, I don't like putting a man in prison before I have to. Tricky, isn't it?
It must be.
Depends on the man as well. He has to be intelligent, imaginative. A man like himself. Leave a man like that alone. Just let him suspect that I know all about him. And his crime and his nerves will do the rest. He'll get ill, irritable, lose his temper unnecessarily. He'll prey upon himself. It only takes one slip, one crucial mistake. And he's done my job for me. I have my evidence.
Why doesn't the man escape?
Where would he go? His pride wouldn't let him. No, I believe that psychologically he is unable to escape me. Let's destroy it for more than the candle. He will have to know what I know. He will come to me. But he can't be sure. He'll brood, weave a tangle around himself, become ill with the torment of it, if I give him long enough. He'll circle and circle, closer and closer around me, and at last, pop, he flies straight into my mouth and I'll swallow him. Do you think I'm right?
It depends on the man. How clever he may be.
No, I'd be the first to admit I might not be clever enough. But you know, Raskolnikov, you're like all young people. You put intellect above everything. Well, it isn't. It can play tricks. Life is not logical. I've learned that. He will not be able to prevent his mind betraying him. Now, he may think he sees every trap, but at some vital moment, well, let's say he faints. Well, it can be explained, ill, a stuffy room, but it gives me a glimpse of light. He might even, if he's really clever, appear to confess, to make fun of somebody who suspects him. But you can play the game too well. And that's another clue. Oh, look pale. Is the room too stuffy? Shall I open a window?
I'm all right. Don't trouble yourself. It's very clear to me. Very clear to me. You suspect me murdering the two women. I know you do. I can see. You all have all of you from the beginning. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of all the suspicions. I won't put up with them any longer. And even if you think you have any evidence, then arrest me. Do it. Get it over with. But I will not be persecuted in this way. I won't allow it. You understand me? I won't allow it.
Rodion, please, lower your voice. People will hear you. If anyone came in, it would be very embarrassing. You mustn't get worked up like this. You fight yourself out of your mind. Be ill again. You mustn't let your imagination get the better of you. I'm an obsession with you.
Do you suspect me, or do you not? Answer me that question.
Why?
Because I can't put up with it.
With what? The uncertainty?
I won't stand for it. I won't listen to sneers and innuendos and endless suspicions.
Lower your voice. Just pull yourself together.
Arrest me. Look, search, interrogate, whatever you want, but do it properly. And if you have no evidence, then let me go. Those are my rights. You have no right to torment me this way.
I'm not at that stage yet. I only asked you here for a friendly chat, don't you remember?
I don't want your friendship. I spit on it. I'm leaving now. Will you let me go?
I have a surprise for you first.
What surprise?
A man is sitting behind that door over there.
What man?
He's waiting for me.
You're lying again. It's the same old trick. I'm hysteric, ill, plagued with fantasy. I get too angry, play on that, and I lose control, betray myself. Isn't that the purpose? You said so yourself. Produce your facts, your evidence. You have none. No evidence at all. You have no right to persecute me because you have no evidence. Produce your proof. I hear them in there. Bring him out. Let him face me. He'll have no evidence. Punish me! Punish me!
What? What is it? I gave orders.
The prisoner Nicol, I was brought.
He's not wanted, then wait. He shouldn't be here. Get him out.
But he couldn't be stopped. And you said you wanted to see him.
Not now. Where is the other man, the one I want now?
I am guilty. Mine is the sin. I am the murderer.
What? Who did you kill?
Alyona Ivanovna and her sister, Lizaveta. I killed them with an axe. Darkness came over me.
The rest of you get out of here. You call this guarding a prisoner, letting him run around wherever the notion takes him? Zamyatov, get them out. I'll deal with them later.
Now, Nikolai, did you kill the two women?
I am the murderer. I want to give evidence.
Were you alone?
Yes, alone.
But you were painting a flat on the floor below at the time of the murder with a workmate. Just after it, the pair of you ran out into the yard, laughing, scuffling like children. Why?
It was to put them off the scent.
They're telling somebody else's story. Look, Raskolnikov, you'll have to leave. This is quite irregular. I'm sorry, but you can't stay for this.
I think you didn't expect this.
Neither did you, my friend.
What about your surprise?
Look, you're in a bad way. You're trembling. Now go home. I'll see you again. Go home. You must forgive me.
I lost my temper.
Yes, we both got carried away. Goodbye. Go to, what was it, a funeral. Take care, my friend. I will see you again.
It's not over. It's not finished. I'm still free.
That was part two of a three-part adaptation of Dostoevsky's Crime and Punishment. Adapted by Bill Morrison. The program was produced by the BBC and presented by Earplay, the Radio Drama Production Center for Public Broadcasting. Next week, the final part of Dostoevsky's Crime and Punishment.
Earplay is made possible by grants from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and the National Endowment for the Arts. This is NPR, National Public Radio.